Deliverance song for this morning. Genesis chapter 3, so it shouldn't take you long to find that passage. Third chapter, book of Genesis. Now, that was a sweet song and well done, but fellas, you ought to see what these ladies do when they get all by themselves and how they sing. So if you haven't seen the video of the song yesterday, you need to take a good look at that, all right, sometime. At the mother, daughter, ladies, and girls banquet yesterday. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Let's stand together. We're going to read one verse if you're able to stand. If you're not, just follow along. I'm going to read the verse. In fact, let's read it together. We're in chapter 3, verse 20. Verse 20. Let's read it together. Chapter 3, verse 20. Ready? And let's read. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So that's what I'm going to speak on this morning, the mother of all. Father, help us today. Thank you for this privilege to preach your word, speak to our hearts. We ask you to have your way in this service in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. I don't always feel compelled on Mother's Day or Father's Day to preach a message along the lines of the special occasion, but sometimes I do, and this is one of those years where the Lord put something on my heart that I wanted to bring to your attention this morning. There's something gone horribly wrong with these female abortion activists. Their passion to defend the killing of the unborn and then prohibiting doctors from preserving the life of a failed abortion is beyond imagination, not to mention beyond what's right biblically. Now, one thing for sure, that is against nature. It's against what is natural and normal. It's against what is the God-created natural instinct in a woman. The God-given, naturally created instinct in a woman is not to kill life, but to nurture and preserve life. That's what you see an example of that in the story of Solomon in 1 Kings 3, when the two women had, they lived in that, the Bible says they were both harlots, and they'd given birth to children, and one of the women rolled over on her child in the night, and the child suffocated, and she got up and took the other child from the other woman's bed, and put, so now they came to the king, and they're arguing and fighting. This is my child. No, it's my child. No, she laid on her child. No, she laid on her child. And Solomon's the king, and he had just got through praying for wisdom, and he said, bring me a sword. That's an odd thing. And he said, okay, we're going to take the sword. And these ladies standing there, we're going to take the sword. We're going to divide the child in half. Give half to her and half to her. And the Bible says that the mother of the child immediately spoke up and said, no, 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 no. Just give her the baby. And Solomon said, she is the mother. She is the mother. That's the natural instinct in a woman, to preserve and nurture life. Now, in our text this morning, we read about the first mother who ever lived. You know that lady? Her name is Eve. Now, the first 19 verses of the chapter 3 contain the details of the fall of mankind into sin as they disobeyed God, and the resulting curse that was placed on those who were involved. There was a curse placed on Adam. Adam was cursed, and there was a curse placed on Eve, and there was a curse placed on the serpent or the devil. In fact, the curse that was placed on the serpent, on the devil, on the serpent, had a silver ray of hope, because in that curse, a promise was given. The Bible says in verse number 15 of chapter 3 that the woman's seed, he said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman that the Bible's talking about here, that God was talking about, is a particular offspring that would come by way of Eve's lineage. That offspring would come to be the Savior of all humanity. This is the first promise of Jesus Christ coming in the Scripture. And so that takes place after the description of the fall, after the curse of sin placed on each one. The Bible tells us in verse number 20 that Adam changed his wife's name. He called her Eve. Now, God named Adam. Adam means red. because God made Adam out of the dust of the ground. But it was Adam who named Eve, and he did not call her Eve at the beginning. Look at chapter 2 in your Bible, verse number 21. Chapter 2, verse 21. This is after God said in verse 18, it's not good for the man to be alone. So the Bible says in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. The rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Watch it. She shall be called woman. And that's an interesting thing there, but here in Genesis chapter 3, she's referred to as woman all the way down to verse number 20. And then in verse number 20, Adam calls her Eve. So he changes her name. And it's interesting because the Hebrew word for woman, now listen, means wife. That's what I think is so wonderful about that story in Genesis chapter 2 when God brings all the animal kingdom and the fowls of the air before Adam and says, Adam, whatever you call them, that's what they're going to be. And fellas, we can be thankful that Adam didn't call any of those beasts woman. Because he would have been calling them wife. That's what woman means in the Hebrew. Isha. Wife. But when we get to chapter 3, verse number 20, Adam changes the woman's name to Eve, and the Hebrew word for Eve is Shava, which means life. So she went from wife to life. Adam named her wife, and then she became life. After the curse was given, Adam realized that this human being, this female, this woman, his wife, was going to be more than just a wife to him. She was going to be the one through whom God would bring life to the world. Eve would begin a race of people, of living, breathing souls. She would be the first to bear fruit. She would be the first to birth a child, but certainly not the last. And so Adam changed her name from wife to life. And says because she's the mother of all living. She's the mother of all life. Now stick with me this morning. Let me make some comments about this. Think together with me. As the mother of all living, number one, Eve was the first to experience the pain of childbirth. The very first. Eve, God had told Eve in the curse that she would experience pain in childbirth. And truly, from that time until today, women who give birth to children go through physical pain to do so. Now, fellas, we have to just accept it. The deck is stacked against us. We are doomed. Never are we able to talk about pain in front of a woman who has birthed a child and be taken seriously. They do not take us seriously. A woman who has had a baby, there is no sympathy, there are no tender condolences, there's no comforting understanding when we are in pain. What is experienced from them is get over it. Tough it out, sissy boy. Now, they may not say that with their words, but it's portrayed in their looks. It comes out. What they would like to say is, Buster, you think you're in pain, you think you're hurting, you don't have any clue. That's what you'd like to say. And the amazing thing about it to me is, as soon as their little boy falls and gets hurt, it's, oh, my son, oh, what's the matter with you? Are you hurt? Well, I want to say, well, he hasn't had a baby either, you know. Right? I don't think he's had a baby yet either. So where's all this tough it out, Buster? Where's all this stuff at? I don't know. That just works on the husband, not the baby. But seriously, I will never forget witnessing the delivery of our first child. I had no idea. How can you? Until you're in that room. You can't experience. You just... No boy or no girl, and it's not your fault, I'm not getting on you this morning, no boy or girl can rightly appreciate the pain and struggle of childbirth until they experience it as a husband or a wife. And the husband, all he does is just watch and listen. But kids, you need to know this morning, I mean kids, I mean teenagers, I mean every child here. You have no clue. No clue. The anguish, the physical suffering your mother went to bring you into this world. I wish I could stand here this morning and say that I always honored my mom. I feel foolish. I feel very, very sad. And as a teenage boy, I dishonored my mother. I was sometimes ugly to her in rebellion. And I realize what she went through to bring me into this life. Don't turn on your mother. She was the first to experience the pain of childbirth. There was no epidural. There was no sterile, sanitized hospital room. Hey, ladies, there was no mom to talk to. There was no older sister. There was no grandma. No one to talk to. You know, I don't know this for sure, but we had the four girls, and I would imagine that, you know, Hannah, of course, had her mother to talk to, and so did the other girls, but I would imagine that Abby had not only a mom, but a sister to talk to. And a sister that would say, you know what, it's going to be painful, but you're going to be okay. Just, you can do it. Eve did not have that. All she had was the loving concern and care of her husband. Can we say not enough? Seriously. She was the first one to experience childbirth, pain in childbirth. Number two, because she's the mother of all living, Eve was the first to experience the joy of childbirth. The joy. Oh, there's pain. Intense pain and suffering, but that was instantaneously replaced with joy the moment the child was born. Jesus Himself talked about this in John chapter 16, verse 21. He said these words, "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, pain. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish." Why? "For joy that a man is born into the world." So after that, the hours and hours of travail, I asked Brother Brent Gellis, I said, "Was Katie a long time in delivery?" And he just shook his head. I could see it pained him to even think about it. He said, "Yeah." And I told him, I said, "You know, when Leah was born, child number 5, she was born in 1 hour. Child number 6 on the way, we assumed that it would be a quick delivery at the hospital. But it was all day, and the intensity of that 6th child's birth, the pain and suffering that I watched my wife go through, almost to the point of losing strength at the end." Some of you know what I'm talking about. And that's what Katie evidently went through in the delivery of this child, Amanda Joy. But the Bible, Jesus said that after all of that, in a moment's time, that is replaced by joy. Because here is this little one that she has carried in her life, carried in her womb for 38, 39, 40, 41 weeks, and that little life has been the unseen part of her, moving and growing and developing and fed and nurtured with oxygen and nutrition through the umbilical cord that links the child to the mother for all of those weeks until delivery. And then the baby takes its first breath on its own, and here in full living color is that life on display with a head and with eyes and with ears and a nose and a mouth and lips and chin and fingers and toes, wiggling and crying and arching its back. And she looks at her daughter, she looks at her son. And the Bible said, Jesus said, at that moment of time, there's great joy. And it never gets old. Excuse me, never gets old. Great, great joy. So you got the intensity of sorrow, the intensity of pain. And then you got the intensity of joy. And Eve was the mother of all living. She was the first one to experience all of this. Again, no mom to talk to, no sister to turn to, no grandmother. Everything is just, whoa. Horrible, horrible pain, anguish. And then intense and sublime joy because the child was born. And if I understand Jesus correctly, the joy is greater than the pain. pain is forgotten and replaced by joy that quickly. And there's got to be some sense here. I don't think that's the time to start talking about the next baby we have and all that. That's got to use a little sense there. There's joy. Joy that the child is born. As the mother of all, number three, Eve was the first to experience the sorrow of childbirth. By sorrow here, I mean something different than pain. Pain refers to the physical suffering and the difficulty of bringing a child into this world. But in Genesis chapter 4, turn the page, and verse number 8, Eve experiences something different altogether. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Here's a mother burying a child. That's different than the pain, the anguish physically of bringing a life into this world. Burying a body of your offspring whose life has left this world. The sorrow of a son, a child taken in death. And even worse, at the hands of his own brother. Now, I don't know. I can walk with some of you through valleys and through vales of tears because I've experienced some of those valleys and vales myself. But my wife and I have never experienced this vale. We've never experienced this valley. I'm not sure there's any sorrow for a mother that is deeper than the sorrow of losing a child in death. Just does something to a mom, it's hard to get over. In fact, you don't get over it because moms aren't supposed to bury children. Children are supposed to bury their moms. One of our dear ladies walked in this morning, and since the last Mother's Day celebration, she buried a daughter. And I spoke to her about it as she came in, and her eyes moistened with tears, and she said, "Of course it's tough. I don't care how recent or how long ago it is. That ache, that sorrow, that hurt just never leaves the heart of a mother. There is no help to moms who have buried their kids. But the first mom, ladies, those of you that have gone through that valley, the first mom who ever lived, the mother of all living, went through that valley. Went through that veil of tears. Over the years, I've seen many moms of all ages bury their kids. It's never, never easy. People sometimes will say, they're just trying to help. Sometimes you don't know what to say. And they make comments like, here's a person that dies in their mid-50s or 60s. And, well, at least you got to have them through the bulk of their life. And here's one that dies, at childbirth or in infancy or is elementary. And, well, at least you never saw them do wrong and get into big trouble. People, can I tell you, there's that's a sorrow that can't be imagined. I've seen moms bury their infant babies. I've seen moms who buried their elementary school kids. Moms who buried junior high school kids. Moms who buried teenagers. Moms who buried young adults. Moms who buried middle-aged adults. Moms like Ursel in her 90s who buried not one but two. It doesn't matter when it happens. There's no sorrow like that sorrow. What I'm saying this morning is the first mom who ever lived experienced that sorrow. The first one. She's the mother of all living. She experienced was the first woman to experience pain in childbirth, the first woman to experience joy in childbirth, and the first one to experience sorrow of heart because of childbirth. But wait a minute, the story doesn't end there with Abel's death, because there's another sorrow here. Look at verse number 16 in chapter 4. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. This is a different sorrow. She's got the sorrow of losing Abel in death. Now she's got the sorrow of a child. Listen. Who leaves the way of God. Wow. It's interesting, the name Nod means fugitive. It means vagabond. It's the idea of someone who has escaped and is in hiding and wandering and restless and wandering around in life. And Cain renounced his family's God and he walked away from his daddy's altar and the things that he was taught about God from being a little child to now. He murders his brother and then he turns his back on God and his daddy and his mom and their religion, if you want to say it that way, their faith, and he goes away. And brother, you know, that's another sorrow that some moms are asked to bear. I've told you before, you know, the lady that put the 12-year-old boy in the ground in death out in Iowa, Melinda. Ryan, Ben's age, 12 years of age, tractor rolls over on him, dies. He has to be buried. And a mother in the church came to her one day and she said, I know there's no pain like you must be experiencing seeing your 12-year-old son's life taken like that. Then she said, but at least you know where your son is. My son's not dead, but I haven't heard from him in years. I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. He left the way of God. He left the will of God. He's left the Word of God. And can I tell you something, ladies? I don't know. I can't say factually, but I have to imagine that's a sorrow that's very, very deep. When you've raised a child to live in life by the Bible and taught him and prayed for him. And some of your other children have bought into it and trusted and believed it and are living it. And then you have one who goes away into the land of Nod as a fugitive, as a restless wanderer, wandering away from all that they have been taught. That's its own sorrow. And I'm just saying this morning that the first mother who ever lived experienced that. She's the mother of all living. She's life. Eve, life, the mother of life. And she experiences pain in childbirth, and she experiences a joy in childbirth, and she experiences sorrow as a result of childbirth. But can I show you something else? She was, as the mother of all living, number four, she was the first to experience the comfort from childbirth. Because look at chapter 4, look at verse number 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. God, through His mercy and grace, gave comfort to her heart with the birth of another child. Now, can I tell you this, ladies? I don't think that ever replaced the sorrow that she felt from burying Abel or seeing Cain. Now, listen to me. Cain go off into the far country. But God did not leave her to bear that depth of sorrow by herself. He brought a measure of comfort into her life. And I'm not saying this morning that having another child. And I'm not saying that it takes having another child. Some moms are beyond childbearing years when they bury a child. Some moms are beyond childbearing years when they have a child go away from God. But I am saying this, God will not leave you comfortless. He'll bring some measure somewhere in your life, there will be something that God does that will birth comfort into your heart. And moms, if you've had to bury a child by way of death, if you've had to bear the heartache and sorrow of a child who's turned away from God, when God births some measure of comfort into your life, receive it. Take it. You don't have to go on in life, through life, hanging your head, beating yourself up. What could I have done different? This child left the way of... No. Look, sometimes people just make choices on their own. God will not leave you comfortless. Trying to help a situation, which is one of the reasons I was gone last Sunday, but that was actually planned before the situation came up. It was just a divine appointment. I was talking to one of the children involved in the fallout, and I said to him, I said, look, Brother Angel, what can I do to comfort my mother? What can I do? And I began to list some things. Well, I said, you know, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. And those are all positive things. Because God said, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. In everything. So sit down with your mom tonight and write these things down and say, Mom, we can rejoice in this, and 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 we can... You know what happens, folks, when you start rejoicing? You're comforted. You're comforted. God's not left me. God's not left me comfortless. In this deep valley, in this deep vale, there's a lily. There's a lily. And as much as my heart aches and my heart breaks, God will not leave me. I'll never leave thee nor forsake you. And He'll do something in your life that He'll use as a means of birthing comfort into your heart. And you know what the bottom line is, ladies? You've got to receive it. Jacob, after all that with Joseph, the Bible says his sons and daughters rose up to comfort him, and he refused it. You don't want to refuse comfort. However God brings it into your life. Now think with me, church. Think with me this morning. Adam names her Eve, which means life. She is the first to experience, as she brings life into the world, she is the first to experience pain, joy, sorrow, comfort. Whoa, time out. Pain, joy, sorrow, comfort. Do you know what that is, people? That's life. Who goes through life without any of those four? We go through life with all of those. Everybody. It's not just a mom. It's men. It's women. It's boys. It's girls. It's teenagers. It's young people. Sometimes as young as age 16, there's pain and sorrow and suffering. And yet God brings comfort, pain, joy, sorrow, comfort. It's a picture of life. And so the woman, the wife, became Eve, life. And through Eve is the experience of life. All the experiences of life started with Eve, the mother of all life. It's like God took Eve's life and said, okay, here's how it's going to be. It's not all going to be pain. And it's not all going to be joy. They're going to offset each other. It's not all going to be sorrow. It's not all going to be comfort. You're going to go through both. That's life. And Eve demonstrated all of it. The first mother demonstrated all of it. You know, Mom, what you ought to be challenged to do this morning. You ought to be challenged to go through life, through the pain and the joy and the sorrow and the comfort, with the grace of God. Being able to put one foot in front of the other, continue to live for God with a smile on your face, with a thankful heart, with a gratefulness to God. Be an example to your daughters, to your children, to their children, to other people, that you know what? You can go through the pain and the joy and the sorrow and the comfort of life and keep your head straight and keep your eyes on God and keep your heart right with God. Just like our first mother. The first mother, Eve. By the way, not only was she the mother of all life, of all living, through her seed came the one who would bring eternal life to the world, Jesus Christ. Who died, was buried, and rose again to make salvation the free gift of God to any person who receives it. Maybe you need to be saved this morning. Maybe you need to be born again. Maybe you've had church experience and, yeah, I believe in God, but there never has been that time in your life where you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you. That's why He came. And I promise you, when you get saved, the Spirit of God moves in your body, you will have the ability to go through the pains and the joys and the sorrows and the comforts of life and finish your course for God like the mother of all living, like Eve. Life. Let's pray together this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for your attention, for listening. Father, I thank you for your book. I thank you for all that we learned from it. I thank you, God, for the wonderful lessons we learn from the life of the first mother, Eve. And how Adam changed her name from wife to life. And her experiences in childbirth are a picture of what we experience even today. And Father, would you help our ladies, especially today, all the mothers. Lord, may they finish strong for you, no matter what valley or what mountaintop comes in their life. May the rest of us, Lord, as men, as young people, learn as well the important lesson that we can get through life as Eve did, the mother of all life, trusting in you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask a couple questions this morning. Who would say, Pastor, somewhere through the course of the message, the Spirit of God touched my heart, just specifically in a certain area. And it was something that was said, maybe something that was not said, but in the course of the message, the Spirit of God just encouraged. Maybe you're a mom this morning and you feel like you get to the place where you are at the point of despair. But you see all the way back in the beginning, the very first mother, her life was a picture of life in general. This is nothing new. What you're going through has been going on for years and years, and you can make it by the grace of God. He will not leave you comfortless. Pastor, I need something that was said this morning. I want to finish strong my life. I want to give up on God. Even walking through the veil of sorrow, the valley of tears, and I want to be right with the Lord. Would you raise your hand this morning if the Lord spoke to you that way? God bless you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Let me ask this question today. How many would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know I would spend eternity in heaven. For a Bible reason, I'm saved, and I know it. Could you lift your hand, just being honest before God? Just honest before God. Thank you. Take your hands down. I wonder if there's one here this morning that would say, you know what, Pastor Angel, I couldn't raise my hand then. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I have no idea where my eternal destiny is going to be. And that concerns me. I don't want to go to hell, be apart from God forever. Pray for me, because I'm not sure that I'm on my way to that place called heaven. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. Will you just slip your hand up? I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Just be honest before God about it this morning. I'm not sure that I'm saved. On my way to heaven. Anybody like that this morning? If you're not sure that you're saved, I'd love to just pray. Ask God to speak to your heart. If you're saved, you've never been baptized according to the Bible, following Christ and believers' baptism, and you want to come this morning to be obedient to Christ, the altar's open for that. In fact, some have already come for that reason. You can come join those or talk to these men about it. But if God spoke to your heart this morning, and you look at the mother of all living, and you look at how she experienced pain and joy and sorrow and comfort, and you look and you say, that's life. No matter what emotional experience I may be going through at the moment, no matter what valley or mountaintop, somebody's walked that trail before me. And by God's grace, I want to finish strong for the Lord. Why don't you come, stand, kneel, do whatever, turn your seat into an altar this morning, pour your heart out to God. Father, thank you for your book. May the Spirit of God do a good work in our hearts now. If there's somebody lost, unsaved, I pray that you'll draw them to Christ. Help them to come, Lord, and know how to be saved, born again on their way to heaven. And I'll thank you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand. The ladies are going to play. If you're interested in knowing for sure how you can go to heaven someday, you come tell one of these men. They'll have somebody show you from the Bible. And if you'd like to use the altar as a time of prayer this morning, you're able to do that. Let's stand together while they begin to play the song of invitation. You obey the Lord this morning and come while we wait. God, speak to your heart. We'll wait just a moment or two for you. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you come this morning? We could take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, born again into God's family. While we wait, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you. Come join these. Amen. Through Eve's lineage would come Jesus Christ, one who would give eternal life to anybody who trusted in Him. If you're not sure you're saved this morning, why don't you come tell one of these men. They'll take a Bible to show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. While we wait, some are joining us from across the parking lot for baptism. Would you come? While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. Speak to our hearts. The Lord, challenge our hearts. I pray that you'll be with the ladies, the good mothers of this church, those who have come our way today. God, give them the grace to make it through life, through all the deep valleys, across the tall mountains. When they're tempted to despair, help them to look all the way back to the beginning of time as we know it, at the first mother, the mother of all life, who experienced all these things and found that you can be trusted. Lord, may you encourage them with that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.